All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight?
So naturally, this was not discovered until I sat down to edit, but clearly we had some audio issues tonight. But rather than not release the show at all, please accept this show with the shitty audio in its place.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I am in preparation mode.
For the too darn hot episode?
No, although that was close.
That's what first thing I thought of when I walked in studio oven today.
Holy shit. I had to put the air conditioner on in my car on the drive home yesterday.
It's
fucking hot as balls in
here.
When
I walked in here, I was like, it's too damn bad I didn't bring my muffin pan.
I can put the fan on if you want.
I'm just saying.
Look, it's the middle of April.
This is not the environment I'm used to working in at this time of year.
Right. I was going to say, look, we don't have the AC units kicked in yet. It's a little early for all that stuff. I'm in preparation mode for Geek Flea Markets.
Yes, which is why we're calling this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 284, The Road to Geek Flea 5.
Geek Flea 5. So if you are in the tri-state area, that's New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, you want to get your a-hole down to
Geek Flea 5.
Geek Flea 5. Where can they? Do we have information on the website?
We do, actually. There'll be something in the show notes, but there's also a banner on the website
right. In
the advertisement section.
Ooh.
That if they click on it, we'll bring them to the page.
Where they can then find out where to go and how to get there and all that jazz.
That's right.
Lovely. And we'll be there, of course.
Of course.
Hawking our stuff that we're trying to get rid of.
And promoting the show, in theory.
Oh, yeah, that. And
stop by! Say hello!
Stop by, yes. We will be giving special prizes away to those who know the secret word.
Oh, will we?
Yes.
Have we established this word yet?
By the end of this episode, you too will know the secret word. If you say the secret word to either OG or myself at Geekfleet5,
right.
Special gift for you.
Now, is the gift a kick in the shins? Because I have lots of those to give away.
No.
Damn.
Those are only for people who start with, hey, Big Kev.
Right. No, that's kick in the shin and automatic deletion. That's different.
That's
a little different.
But, nevertheless, we hope to see you at Geekfleet5.
Sure.
We had a good time at the last four, so I'm guessing this one will be all
right. That's right.
And... So we should move on with this.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Hey guys, it's Matt calling. Kev, I agreed with you a couple weeks back about Dragon Ball Z being terrible, but I can't agree with you on a statement you made last week. The Walking Dead the show's horrible. The acting is terrible. The pace of the show is terrible. The show is just all around horrible. I was in on the first season, but after the second season, midway through, I was done. I tried to go back and watch it since, but the show just lost me. Thanks. Have a great day, guys.
Stinger in a voicemail.
Wow.
We should name this episode Stinger in a voicemail.
We got a good name for this.
I'm perfectly okay with the name.
Road to Geekfully Fun.
Road to Geekfully Fun. The voicemail. Uh-huh. Now, we teased this last week.
Right.
We didn't talk about it because that shiftless layabout that was hanging out in the studio with us last week.
Oh, hey, oh.
Sam was a nice young man.
That could be, he could be the next producer on this program.
Then Shiftless Layabout is the perfect title for him.
You cannot compare him to former Shiftless Layabouts.
Okay, so I'm just saying. Look, I like Sam.
I'm just saying
that if he slides into the role, much yeah. like other people have slid into the role.
It's out of the role, that's the issue.
He comes in with guns blazing.
Uh-huh.
And before you know it,
Peter's out.
Yeah, just
let's healed. Talk about.
But anyway,
let's talk about that phone message.
Let's talk about that phone message. I agree with that caller for the most part.
I don't agree about the acting part.
No, I wouldn't say that it's poorly acted.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't say that it's poorly acted.
I mean, unless we're talking about that awful kid. But then I would agree with him up until this season. You know, because this season, what's his name, Chandler Riggs?
That's playing Carl.
Yeah,
Carl.
I don't think it's Carl Jr.
I don't think it is Carl Jr.
You're thinking the restaurant.
I am thinking the restaurant.
The kid that's playing Carl, I think he's just sort of come alive in a I have no soul way this season.
Yeah, he kind of came alive when he shot that person.
Well, a couple of things like that. I mean,
But otherwise, he seems very...
Yeah.
He's very kind of Carl. He's not dynamic.
He's no Anakin Skywalker episode one.
Well, he's not that bad, but I don't think he's an Oscar winner either.
No.
Or Golden or an Emmy winner.
That's fine, but he's never going to be, so that's fine.
So yes, I agree. I think I might be done with The Walking Dead.
You guys do not know...
I'm not comparing it to the book.
I know.
This has nothing to do with the book.
You need to pick your battles. You're going to bail on one of the purest geek programs on TV right now because it's a little slow or it isn't perfect.
It has nothing to do with being perfect.
Well, tell me why.
It has everything to do with being slow, but I would bail on any show that is slow and tedious to watch.
You think it's tedious?
Tedious is how I would describe it. I painfully watch a lot of those episodes.
That's interesting. I really think...
I think the best episode this season, right, where I was like, okay, I'm back on board, was the episode... with Rick and the governor just having their conversation.
Uh-huh.
The one where they're sitting in the room.
Yeah.
That was great drama. That was well-acted, well-executed drama. And then the rest of the season was a lumbering zombie. All this build-up to that season finale,
yep.
right? And then the governor tucks his tail up his ass and runs at the first sign of pushback.
Oh, hey, I didn't hear any spoiler alert going on.
It's 2-3 weeks past. If they haven't watched it by now, fuck them.
But then he cut down his own peeps.
Right, okay. I guess, but it was anticlimactic after him running away.
Okay.
And then the fact, and let's talk about the fact that he gets away at all.
Okay.
That's just hogwash. That's just hullabaloo.
Are you sure you're not in this case comparing it to the book?
No, because I stopped reading the book for no reason other than I just didn't have time and
right.
I didn't have the money to continue buying the graphic novels. I stopped reading the book in the middle of the governor story.
Uh-huh.
So I actually don't know how the governor story ends technically in the book.
Right.
I know there's a lot more that happens with Michonne, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't know. So I'm judging the show just on...
The show.
On the show.
Right.
I think the fact that he got away at the end of the season was hogwash.
Okay.
And I think the show's pacing is abysmal.
Uh-huh.
And I think the only reason I still have any enjoyment of the show is Norman Reedus. I think he is awesome on the show.
Sure.
And I actually was starting to turn around on Michael Rooker, and then they offed him. If they had kept him, I might have been able to stomach through the rest of some of the other stuff.
I don't know. I really, really like the show. I think it's well performed. I agree with you to an extent with regards of the pacing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is something to be said about the way that the pacing kind of works with what's happening in the storyline.
I think that a show can be very dramatic and have... It doesn't need to be nonstop action. Because I don't want anybody to accuse me of thinking I think that this should be an action flick. I don't think that it should be an action flick. But I just think that it just labors on at points. Okay. There are entire episodes where I'm like,
Maybe they'll take that criticism into consideration for the next season.
Yeah, but that criticism, I think, existed all through season two. And
well, I thought there was a lot. I think the criticism in season two was there wasn't enough action. Well, they certainly had more than enough of that this season. So if they address the pacing this time around, maybe season four will be really good.
Maybe I'll watch a couple episodes, but I don't think, you know, maybe I'll watch a couple episodes to see if there's a pickup, but I can't imagine myself sitting through an entire full fourth season if it's just more of the third season.
Well, that's sad, sir.
It is sad. I wanted the show to be more to me than it is.
Very sad.
And so going back to a point that you made early in this little bit of discussion where you said, I need to pick my battles, purest geek, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I can't... I feel as though I've hung on as long as I have out of this, like...
Loyalty
to, like, the fact that it's a geek show, right. It's a comic book adaptation. And I'm at the point where I don't know that I can continue to justify that.
But Arrow, you're still watching.
Arrow's been great. Pacing has been really good. I mean, and I'm not the only one that feels that way. Much like I'm not the only one that feels that Walking Dead is...
Apparently not.
But, you know, and there are other shows I think that I would rather watch. Doctor Who is back, and it's been off to a great start. Really enjoying Doctor Who. First two episodes were fantastic, I think.
Uh-huh.
Orphan Black is great. First two episodes of that were really exciting. BBC America.
That's not a spinoff, right?
That is not a spinoff. Okay. That is its own show. Copper is coming back. I'm excited for that.
What about Defiance?
I am really excited for Defiance. That the trailer that was on a couple weeks ago, which wasn't really a trailer, it was the first 14 minutes of the first episode, looks fucking great. It's weird. Did you watch that clip?
I didn't.
So the show, I think, is going to have a little bit of growing pains trying to determine what it wants to be.
Right.
Because it's like sci-fi, western, steampunk... So if it's not careful, it's going to end with a giant mechanical spider, and everybody's going to be pissed.
Really? Because from your description, it kind of sounded a little bit more like...
Wow, Firefly?
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's... I don't know. It's weird. It's... Firefly was more western-y.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was, like, very western in a sci-fi setting.
Right.
This, I kind of get the impression that it's a sci-fi setting with some western elements.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well,
but, like, some of the designs are very steampunk. Goggles and bowlers and shit. So it's... I don't know. Right. It's got to pick what it wants to be, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
And what else? There was something else. Oh, and Game of Thrones is back. So, you know.
So here's what I have to say about Game of Thrones.
Okay.
So many people I know who are watching Game of Thrones are like, this is the season, man. This is the season where everything happens.
Yeah.
And I just can't respond to that because I know what happens because I've read the books.
Right.
So, you know, it's so hard because it's like, oh, I want to say like...
But
you can't.
My only problem with Game of Thrones, it's getting a little difficult to follow. And I don't mean like I'm a dummy and can't follow it.
Uh-huh.
I mean like... You have an hour episode with six different stories going on.
Yeah.
And you're spending 10 minutes per story.
Uh-huh.
And that's getting a bit...
Well, I wouldn't worry, OG. Some of those stories are liable to dry up by the end of this season, I think.
That's what I hear. So, so anyway, but yeah. So my point being, there are other shows that I'm enjoying a lot. So that if I had to sacrifice something, I'm not going to hold on to something that I'm finding tedious to watch.
Can I just mention one more thing, TV and video-wise, before we get into the hard news?
Sure.
Elysium.
Looks awesome.
Trailer was released today.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
Really good. Well, I like that dude.
Yeah.
Blumkampf.
Blumkampf.
District 9 was...
Yeah, no Nazis in that past.
Yeah. District 9 was awesome. So, you know, Elysium looks really good.
Let's get into the hard-boiled news, OG.
Well, let's get into the comic book controversies this week. The one that is much less controversial... which would also pop up again in the comic book news, but this is Batman and Red Robin number 19.
Yes, I have it right here.
Yes, and the controversy is Carrie Kelly makes her way into official DC 52 canon.
With fold-out, gatefold cover. Right.
So, Carrie Kelly, you want to tell us who she is for the uninitiated? For those who don't know?
She's the spunky redhead you may recall from such stories as The Dark Knight Returns and The Dark Knight Returns.
Right. So she was the first female Robin, is that correct?
Yes.
Because there was one other one, I believe, at some point in time, wasn't there?
I don't think so.
I think there was. I might be wrong on that, but I think there
You're wrong on that.
So, a couple of things here, and I haven't read the issue. So there's that. Yeah, being the first female Robin, a position since filled by Stephanie Brown in the old DC Universe, and by Helena Wayne. Was she Robin at one point in time, too?
I don't think so.
And she was... Oh, she might have been Robin in Earth 2.
Oh. I don't count those.
Well, you have to kind of count those. So anyway, so Carrie Kelly, why is this controversial? I don't think it's controversial. Other than the fact that I kind of was on board with Harper Row potentially becoming the new Robin, especially after Batman 18. Now, I haven't read Batman 19, which came out this week.
Batman and Robin, or Batman?
No, Batman 18 was very Harper
Row-centric. Yes. Right.
And it seemed like they were grooming her to become Robin.
Right.
So now you have Carrie Kelly come in, and she's in the Robin costume on the cover, at least. I don't know how she is in the rest of the episode.
Yeah, there's a kind of funny little...
thing about that?
Yeah, you'll see.
I just don't know that I need Carrie Kelly to come into the new DC 52 universe. Well, that's kind of where I feel on this.
You know what? And the way I feel about it is, it's a red herring.
Right. It's a throw-off.
Yeah, it's kind of a, oh, that's exciting. What are they going to do with that? Because really what you should be concentrating on is the fact that Bruce is losing his effing mind.
Right. Well, obviously, since the loss of Damian. Son. But it just, I don't know, it's just weird. Like, I just don't know that we need Carrie Kelly. Well, I don't know,
we'll wait and see how she develops. You know, everyone said the same thing about Harley Quinn.
Right. Yeah, but like Harley Quinn, I think.
But she's like a main staple
now. Of course.
I don't like her outfit anymore.
Well... She's also it's also not makeup anymore either. She's naturally pale now in the new 52 universe.
Naturally.
The other controversy this week seemed to have boiled down to just a big misunderstanding.
Oh.
The last update I saw. So Saga number 12 comes out today.
Right.
And somehow in a kerfuffle over the last day or two, it came out that you would not be able to get Saga directly through the Apple Store for your iOS device because of an issue with nudity in the issue. Now, the issue has had a lot of sexually explicit content before, but it hasn't, but the issues have been available. This, I believe, was full frontal nudity of the male variety.
Oh.
And then...
A peen.
Right. And then part of the controversy, which I think was inappropriately blown out of proportion, was that it happened to be homosexual male nudity.
Oh.
It was two men. But I don't think that actually played into the story. A lot of people were trying to make this into a gay thing.
Were they docking?
No, I don't believe they were docking.
Okay.
A lot of people were trying to say, Apple bans gay sex. And no, I don't think that the gay aspect of it was really part of it. I think it was really just the full-on male junk.
Gotcha.
Was the issue. But the last I heard is that it may have been a misinterpretation of
of nudity?
Of Apple's policy, and so we thought it wasn't going to be carried, but it was, and so I think it's kind of thus blown over.
It was a bratwurst.
Yeah, but for a day or two, it was all the rage.
Oh, my.
Let's stick with Batman-related. Let's stick with DC stuff, though.
Okay.
Batman Arkham Origins.
Yes, heard about this.
So this is the new game in the Batman Arkham Asylum world. So right. We had Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, now Arkham Origin. So the interesting part about this is that it's not Rocksteady that is developing this game.
That's interesting.
It is...
Rockstar.
No, it's Warner Brothers in-house company.
Okay.
Which is... It's somewhere out of Montreal. Games Montreal.
Ugh.
Now, apparently, Rocksteady has given their blessing to Games Montreal, which I think is just a...
Because I'm sure Warner Brothers gave them a blessing with a few zeros at the end.
I'm assuming Warner Brothers had to pay them for something.
Had to.
That being said, I am obviously concerned with someone other than Rocksteady doing that game.
Right.
But the game looks kind of cool. Some of the character art. Deathstroke looks really cool. I think the concept of the game is that it takes place on Christmas Eve. I don't know why everybody's making a big deal about that, other than I guess it's a cool day for a game to take place. But I believe it's supposed to be kind of like how Blackgate eventually had to have on Arkham. You know, Blackgate was first, and then they were like, nah, this isn't enough for some.
Right.
Okay. Let's do Arkham. So there you go.
Thing.
Yeah, so there's that. In other Marvel news... in Marvel Twitter news, let's call it that.
Who's tweeting out junk now from Marvel?
Well, Edgar Wright
posted
a tweet that said, aside from World's End, I directed one shot in another summer movie, but which is it? And then he sent another tweet saying, yes, some of you are right, responding to a lot of people guessing what they thought it was. The rumor is that he is doing the after credit tag for Iron Man 3.
Right.
And that it's possibly, quite possibly, Ant-Man related.
Right. But Ant-Man is Phase 3.
Ant-Man is Phase 3. But Phase 2 sets up Phase 3.
Well, I know that.
So, it's possible.
I suppose.
It's possible.
We don't even know which Ant-Man we're getting yet.
We don't. We don't know anything other than Ant-Man.
Well, I guess we'll find out who Ant-Man is, if that's the case as well.
Quite possibly. So that would be interesting.
It would be.
And I think this has been the case historically. I think they've had other directors do that after credits stinger. I think so. I could be wrong, but I think so.
Hmm.
And then the other Twitter news this week is Morris Chestnut. Now, he is a gentleman. He's in Kick-Ass 2. He was also in that V reboot that came out last year. He was actually really good in V. I'm not sure who he's playing in Kick-Ass 2, but he sent out a tweet the other day that said, it's time to get familiar with the Black Panther character, and a photo of a bunch of Black Panther issues. And then he quickly deleted the tweet a couple minutes later. And then there was another thing he posted yesterday He is a black fella. There's another thing he posted yesterday, not final, Black Panther may be in Avengers 2 first. And then that was deleted, like, an hour later. So,
I think two red herrings are being thrown up by this actor
as
he tries desperately to get cast as Black
Panther. Right, so we haven't heard any word from Marvel one way or the other. Not a denial or a confirmation. As far as would I think he make a good Black Panther? Certainly. I think he could fit the role. Black Panther is one of those names that we've heard tossed around for quite some time, along with Doctor Strange, which we know is a Phase 3 movie.
Right.
Ant-Man, which we know is a Phase 3 movie, so maybe they're making it...
Black Panther? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but remember, so Black Panther leads into a lot of other things.
I know. That
the vibranium of the shield and other...
Yeah.
He has other tie-ins to Marvel movies that are currently...
Right.
Working their way through. So, maybe.
What's Black Panther's power again?
He's black? I'm not quite sure. I've never read Black Panther.
He can stick it to the man? Is that what it is?
I have never read a single issue of Black Panther.
Well, maybe it's time for a contest.
Oh, have you read an issue of Black Panther?
If you think you can summarize Black Panther's powers and be correct in the length of a tweet.
Okay, 140 characters or less.
To OG.
That's right. What at GeekStuffOG.
At GeekStuffOG. There's a prize in it for you.
Okay.
And we'll pick the best, not the first one.
That's right.
We'll pick the best one. Oh, the calendar's moved.
Yeah, the calendar is moved.
Oh,
but
on the other side of the studio now, I can't see.
Yeah, but April hasn't been put up yet on that calendar.
Ah.
So, but I'll get you
a do you want to call it? April 17th? We'll give him 1 week?
No, we'll give him 2 weeks. April 24th.
There you go.
We'll 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on April 24th.
We'll pick the best one, and you will receive a prize from this program.
That's right, and I plan on getting that prize for this contest at Geek Flea 5.
There you go. Geek Flea 5 this weekend. This Saturday.
That's right.
One day only. One day only.
And with that, Big Kev.
Yes, OG, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode
284.
284. I knew it.
Sure you did.
The road to Geek Flea 5.
Saturday, April 13th. Cash in your tax refund and come to Geek Flea 5. Come to 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey for the best spectacle on the East Coast.
Unwinnable presents
Geek Flea 5. Our vendors are guaranteed to have something to quench your geek thirst. Comics, video games, bootleg DVDs, old toys, board games, books, posters, and more. But wait, that's not all. Geek Flea 5 is also an artist marketplace. That's right. Come to Geek Flea to buy wares from photographers, painters, filmmakers, comic creators, jewelry designers, clothing designers, and more. There will also be hot sauce. Buy some food from the church ladies. Geek Flea 5. DJs will be spinning music all day. Enter one of the raffles and be the next big winner. Sponsored by 80stees.com, Loop Lounge, Garden State Roller Girls, Paradox Comics, Barcade Jersey City, Comics Explosion, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and Tailsleep. Don't forget to come to sunny Kearney, New Jersey for the best event on the East Coast. Saturday. April 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey. Geek Flea 5. Our prices are insane.
Hey, it's E-Rock from the Opie and Anthony Show on SiriusXM Satellite Radio. And you're listening to Coke Logic's Game Stuff. I don't know what that is.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. First things first, a warning to Walking Dead fans. There's a new Walking Dead game called Walking Dead Survival Instinct, a game that is a pile of shite. Don't buy it, don't play it. This is not the same as the point-and-click adventure game from Telltale. I hope no one wasted $60. I know, now he tells us. Batman Arkham Origins has been announced for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. The third game in the Arkham series. But there's one small detail to consider before you jump for joy. It's not being developed by Arkham Asylum and Arkham City developers Rocksteady. That doesn't mean the game is going to suck. Many sequels have been passed to another company while the original developer pursues other projects. What this does mean is the rumored Silver Age Batman that just might have contained Superman might have been wishful thinking when they announced the next Arkham game was going to be back in time. What they really meant was a prequel to the previous game's events, where Batman is hunted by 8 assassins on Christmas Eve. The few screenshots released look really good, but it definitely looks like Arkham City 2, and not a giant leap forward for the series. Then again, this is all speculation. The game has just been announced. How about I cut Batman Arkham Origins 1 ounce of slack? Because it's an Arkham game. I already know I'm gonna play it. In other Batman video game news, more Batman! Turns out there's another game being developed for the Nintendo 3DS and PlayStation Vita, called Batman Black Gate. It's a 2D side-scrolling Metroidvania-style action game. This could be fantastic. XCOM Enemy Unknown was a great game on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, but when playing it, I always thought, this would be so much cooler on a touchscreen. Turns out, I was 100% right, as XCOM Enemy Unknown, the full fucking game, is coming to iOS devices. That's your iPad and your iPhones. It's coming this summer. I totally called it. Something that hasn't happened for me since Red Dead Redemption, Bioshock Infinite is a highly anticipated game that I not only look forward to, but it surpassed all of my expectations. Go play Bioshock Infinite. It's even in Redbox now. Dead Island Riptide is coming out April 16th. There's been very little about this next game, but hopefully it's as fun as the first game, but not as buggy as the first game. And finally, Injustice: Gods Among Us is also being released on April 16th. That would be the DC Comics fighting game made by the people who did Mortal Kombat 9. That's right, the title's completely uninformative and kinda sucks. Mortal Kombat 9 was one of the greatest of all fighting games, and now it has DC characters. It's pretty much here, but if you're still on the fence, there's even a demo on XBLA and PSN. Enjoy. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 284, The Road to Geek Flea 5.
Yeah, that one you remember.
Of course, during that segment, we had a promo for Geek Flea 5.
Uh-huh.
We had our new sponsor.
Yes.
Suburban Vinyl coming back.
Suburban Vinyl.
Which is not really a new sponsor. It's kind of like a reopening sponsor.
They're returning.
Right? A returning sponsor.
Yes.
And we also had a new Game Stuff during that break.
Oh, so yeah.
That break was chock full of things.
Packed full of stuff. What's the deal with the old Suburban Vinyl?
So, Suburban Vinyl, if you remember, we went to a bunch of their shows.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a year and a half ago, two years ago. They are reopening up. They have a brand new location in Walwick, New Jersey.
Nice.
And
Walwick?
It's not far from here. It's maybe 20 minutes from here. It's off of, I think it's off of 17 and 4, that general area.
Okay.
But on April 20th, they are reopening up their shop, and they've been pretty much collecting a bunch of different product. They have a bunch of stuff. You might be interested because they're having a Apocalypse Dunny trading party. And he has blind boxes, I believe.
Oh.
So there's still some of those that you want.
There's a lot of them that I want.
And he's going to have...
that I have zero.
Right, yeah, of course. He's got a bunch of stuff from... I think he might have some stuff from Kidding Industries, which is Chris Dolfer, a friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
Some resin stuff. So yeah, April 20th, that is happening.
Nice.
And then in May and June and possibly July, he's got like three or four shows, a couple of solo shows who I don't want to announce yet because I don't know that they're all solidified.
Nice.
And I saw last night he's got a group show coming up in May that is all G.I. Joe themed. That sounds like it could be really cool. And I believe that is in partnership with Benny at Tenacious Toys. I think is like... co-sponsoring that event.
Is our friend Healy Maid?
I don't know if he's going to be part of that show or not.
He does a lot of stuff with you.
But I know he, Dave Healy is, I believe he talks and is friendly with Benny from Tenacious.
Right.
So there is a possibility.
All right.
I might actually reach out to Healy myself and be like, oh, actually, Dave is probably listening. Dave, if you're listening.
Dave.
I think there's a G.I. Joe show coming up in May. Reach out to Benny if you're not already in the know and find out about that.
We have
one of his posters hanging in the studio.
We like to see you, Dave.
But so check out Suburban Vinyl. There is a link to the store in the advertising section and in the show notes. And again, April 20th, you're gonna want to go check that out. I hope that both of us can be there for that. But
I'm hoping to be there, Dave.
That's creepy, son. Stop doing that. He says special guests.
Dave.
Special guests on his poster.
Maybe we're them.
No, I think he has a couple of different artists lined up for that as well, but I don't want to name anybody unless I'm 100% sure. So
yeah, you should find out.
Definitely check that out. But it's going to be fun, I think.
Nice.
It's going to be fun.
Give that a whirl.
Yes, sir.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic novels.
Comics.
Oh, geez. Are we that far in the show already?
There are a lot this week.
God, I thought we just started.
Well, we already mentioned two things in the news. We don't have to re-mention Batman and Robin.
We should. Batman 19 from DC this week.
Right.
If you're not reading this book at this point, you're missing out. I think it's one of the best Batman runs in years and years. I mean, the writing is spectacular. The art is spectacular. I mean, it's great stuff. You definitely should be checking it out.
Right.
Old Soup's showing up in that issue.
Nice.
Don't want to get into it anymore. Batman and Robin. Oh, I'm sorry. Batman and Red Robin, number 19. We talked about this in the news. Peter J. Tomasi and Pat Gleason bringing Carrie Kelly into the DC universe. What will that mean? We don't know. But Bruce is losing his mind and really losing his mind in... you see what goes on in Batman and Robin, Red Robin number 19. And also from DC, rounding out the pack this week, this is something I was very interested in getting a hold of, sir. A brand new Batman book that everybody should be checking out, Batman Little Gotham, number one.
Well.
Dustin Gwen and Derek Friddle, blah, 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 are working on this. So you got to think like Tiny Titans.
Right.
But with, I want to say more serious art, but really I can't say that because it's not.
You know what this reminds me of? It's like Tiny Titans and like Patrick the Wolf Boy, or like Jill Thompson's Little Endless.
Yes, kind more of. Like Little Endless.
Right, would be a good maybe example.
Yeah, it's got that watercolor style, very stylized Dustin Gwen art. It looks hysterically funny, so I'm going to check that out. I'm probably going to add that to my roster of books to read.
I will be reading that book.
I like a little funny.
Sure. I have a DC book also.
Oh, you do?
Constantine number 2 is out this week.
Are you reading that?
Issue 1 was like so-so. So I'll check out issue 2.
So-so. And for me this week, I also picked up from IDW, Rocketeer Hollywood Horror number 3, Roger Langridge, and J-Bone. Working on this one. Do we know J-Bone?
I believe we do.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but I feel as though we've conversed with Mr. Bone.
Yes, and he has a great sort of animated-ish kind of style.
Right.
That I think works very well for the Rocketeer, mostly.
Right.
I'm not falling over myself with it. We'll get to a person who I'd love to see do a Rocketeer book in a minuet. And yes, that's all I have for regular issues.
I have Saga number 12, which we talked about again in the news.
Yes.
And then I also have Marvel, Age of Ultron number 5 is out this week. I'm still reading that. Fantastic Four number 6. Fantastic Four has actually been really good. I'm reading that.
I can't.
Uncanny X-Men number 4, which I've actually been enjoying. And then Ultron number 1, which is an Age of Ultron book.
No kidding.
I know you didn't check it out, but the Thanos book that came out last week?
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. A little weird, but kind of interesting.
I can't be dragged back in.
I know. And then, of course, we have 2 graphic novels this week, too. One of which I kind of want to check out.
You have 2 graphic novels?
I have 2.
Oh, I have 2, yeah. One is something I'm very excited to share with everybody. It's the Rocket Raccoon and Groot Complete Collection from Marvel. It's going to run you, looks like, about $30 for a soft cover. I don't know, Marvel, that's pushing it a little bit.
I know.
Got a lot of art and covers and things.
What is this exactly?
That's exactly what I want to tell you, OG, what it is. And I'm very excited.
Okay.
You know, these characters have been around a long time, OG, yes. And they've picked out a bunch of stuff, places where they've appeared over the years.
Okay.
And I'd like to share with you what this collects. This collects Incredible Hulk number 271 from 1968. That's right. Geez. It's older than you, OG.
Way older than
you. Not me, but it's older than you. Rocket Raccoon 1-4.
Yeah.
And material from Tales to Astonish number 13. From 1959.
Hold on. And which character is that? Is that Groot or is that Rocket?
That's Groot.
Wow. From
1959. Wow.
I didn't realize he was around that long.
I didn't realize.
That's hardcore.
Tales to Astonish 13 from 1959. Marvel Preview number 7. Annihilators number 1-4. And Annihilators Earthfall number 1-4. Written by, and you got a bunch of great writers in here. Bill Manto, Dan Abnett, Andy Lanning, Stan Lee, Larry Lieber, and you got illustrators like Keith Giffen, Sal Buscema, Mike Mignola.
Mignola?
Yeah, Mignola, like pre-Hellboy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Marvel Mignola.
As a matter of fact, that's his art on the cover of this, is it not?
I think it is, yes. This is a new cover, though,
yeah,
that he did for this book. Timothy Green II and the legendary Jack Kirby.
Nice.
I want to know who did the back cover. That's pretty banging stuff. I don't
Groot's
know.
Groot's pretty badass looking on
I know. Cover. So is Rocket Raccoon, though. I can't. I'm telling you. I am so excited about this Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I hope it's amazing.
I hope so, too.
That said, these are the two oddball characters,
right,
if you will, from that series. And if you want to get a little history
on
Rocket Raccoon and Groot, this is the book you're going to want to check out.
Nice.
Yep. So check that out. And also from Marvel, it pains me that we talk so much about Marvel.
I know. But this is
the good stuff. coming from Marvel.
There's good stuff that comes from Marvel still.
Well, there's not a lot of...
I'm liking a lot of Marvel stuff. I'm turning a leaf.
I don't know what's going on with you. Because you were more anti-Marvel than I was.
I feel dirty.
I know. Well, you know what? Here's the thing.
But I'm enjoying it.
It doesn't matter if it's Marvel. It doesn't matter if it's DC. It doesn't matter if it's Dark Horse. It doesn't matter if it's IDW.
Right.
If it's a good book... It's a good book.
Oh, Dark Horse. You just reminded me of something else that came out this week.
What?
So finish that.
No, go ahead.
Star Wars number 4 came out.
Oh, yeah, I did see
that. Yeah, I got to check that out.
Traitor Waiter.
Yeah.
I know. Continuing the Eisner Award-winning Oz adaptations, this is Road to Oz.
Nice.
By Frank L. Baum, translated into this format by Eric Schanauer, and the incredible... award-winning, should be lauded as amazing work by Scotty Young.
Scotty Young's art is
unbelievable.
Amazeballs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think this is the 5th book in the series.
That sounds about right.
This is the hardcover. This collects Road to Oz number 1-6. And it's going to run you $27.99 for a beautiful oversized hardcover.
Right.
I don't care if you want to give me crap about the fact that I'm reading the Oz books.
Why?
If you saw the artwork in these books and the way that Eric Schanauer has laid them out, it's great stuff.
And the stories are...
Classic.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Classic.
Absolutely.
Can I just say one thing about Scotty Young?
You can.
If you go, I think some comic shops are participating in this.
Uh-huh.
They have that alternate cover of, I'm not sure if it was Guardians of the Galaxy number 1, where it's a little Rocket Raccoon and Groot in the thing, in the pot.
Oh, I have to see that.
It's like a little lithograph.
Okay.
That you can get it's like the size of a cover,
but
it's a little tiny lithograph. I just remembered, Retailer X did not effing give me mine today.
Damn, I gotta see if I can track one down.
B-I-T-C-H. I gotta call him when we're done taping, because
right.
I want mine. Anyway, Road to Oz, I believe this is the 5th in the Oz series. I think I said that earlier. You definitely want to check it out. It's amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. I know, everyone's gonna give me crap about it. Hey, would you like to give me crap about the fact that I think that the Road to Oz books... Are the Oz adaptations by these two wonderful creative gentlemen are things you should be checking out? Would you like to give me crap about that? You can do so over at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you can leave a message over there about just how G-A-Y it makes me that I like this stuff.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm getting crap for it. Just
you're not getting crap from her in this room.
Not in this room.
And a lot of I haven't heard a listener yet.
A couple people. Getting a little.
Maybe.
If you'd like to debate me on the issue, give the GVM line a call and do it. I dare you. Take that.
You're very angry.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
But now I'm going to get happy again.
All right, you first.
Have you seen this?
I have seen that. I've seen the photos of it.
I saw it at...
This is like a trend.
It is. I saw this at Celebration 5.
You did, actually, I think we have photos of it in that episode.
We do.
Somewhere.
This was one of the two things I thought were in the top 10 things.
Right.
I saw at Celebration 5. This is from Gentle Giant. This is the animated Star Wars animated Scout Trooper Ewok attack.
Nice.
So the trend here is if the Ewoks actually looked like they've been represented in pieces like this, and we know there was another piece from Sideshow that we talked about with great love and admiration. But this piece takes it even a step further with the animated styling, if you will, that General Giant has mastered.
Sure.
What you have is you have a bunch of Ewoks, 3 Ewoks attacking a scout trooper.
Angry Ewoks.
And they are angry. Look at this one. Look at this one right here.
I see.
Angry.
He is not happy.
Angry. He kind of looks a little like Ted.
He does look like Ted.
Like angry Ted.
Ted is an Ewok.
Yeah, and they are angry and they are attacking this scout trooper. Great piece, beautiful sculpt. It's one of those things that makes me like Ewoks.
I hear it.
And there are only two things that have ever made me like, 3 things that I've ever enjoyed about Ewoks. This is one of those 3.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what the
I have no idea.
Sideshow pieces.
Right.
And then when the Ewok died.
Aww.
And the other little Ewok was like, come on, Ray, come on. Come on, and he's like, and does the Ewok cry.
I wonder if Aileen is getting this piece. Aileen, of course, from Toy Break. Big Ewok fan.
I would say probably yes.
I wonder.
I would say.
I wonder if it's going to appear on an upcoming episode of Toy Break. I'll have to reach out and find out.
Well, you know, this is actually a limited edition Entertainment Earth exclusive.
Although, okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
Entertainment Earth exclusive, except that there are a lot of places that are carrying it. So how does that work?
But who's carrying
it? Well, obviously, where did you get it from?
Entertainment Earth.
Okay, because I saw it from, I think Big Bad Toy Store had it. And somebody else I saw online, I think, was carrying it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know Gentle Giant had some for their collector's guild.
Right, right. But you know what? Entertainment Earth, actually, you know what? I should strike that. Because Entertainment Earth, the website, there's also Entertainment Earth, like, they distribute through Preview sometimes, too. So maybe that's how it's coming through Preview.
I think the story may go something like, you know, it's because of Entertainment Earth that it gets made.
Right.
Who's that character? The Jedi librarian. And I'm going to catch crap over this.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
That figure they tried to get made for years, and finally somebody, it was either Brian's Toys, or somebody said, all right, we'll back it and get it made. Oh, I can't remember her name now. Oh, come on, GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And give me the crap I justly deserve for not remembering. Jocasta.
Oh, okay.
Jocasta New?
Jocasta New.
She's a
Jedi librarian?
Yeah. Yeah, she was in the movie.
I vaguely recall her. Yeah, I know who she is.
Well, she's been like the most requested figure like ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I guess, I want to say it's Brian's Toys, but I think I'm wrong. I think it was a Big Bad Toys. I can't remember. One of those guys, OG will put up a link on the website so that I don't feel like a complete ass. But that actually got it done, that actually worked with Hasbro to get the piece made exclusively available through them.
Right.
But other people, I mean, I think are eventually selling them. I just think they're like, you know, kind of maybe they're buying them up there and then selling them on their own site or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, this is, I can't even count the number of animated maquette style pieces that they've done at this point, because all of them have been great. We've talked about a lot of them on this program before, the Gentle Giant animated style maquettes. This one is going to run you, I don't remember what the price is off the top of my head, but this much I do know, there's only 1,000 of them.
Okay.
They are numbered at the bottom of the thing, which is great. Thank you, Gentle Giant, for not bailing on numbering. DC Collectibles, pay attention. This makes the piece, in my opinion, this makes the piece very collectible.
Sure.
Because there are only 1,000 of them, and I know there are only 1,000 of them, and I have number, whatever number I have here, 602.
Right.
602 out of 1,000. So thank you to keep, thank you to Gentle Giant for keeping that going. Check them out at gentlegiantlimited.com or gentlegiantltd.com. StarWars.com is also a place where you can check this out, but I go to Gentle Giant LTD. Sure. They're the ones.
I'll post the link to places you can check it out.
I figured
you would. I'll probably post some links to places you might be able to buy it.
There you go. So there, let me just give you a little flavor text on the back, OG. Co-designed by Lucasfilm and Gentle Giant Studios Incorporated. This maquette showcases an animated take on the classic characters from the Star Wars saga. Inspired by the various cartoon styles from the Star Wars universe, each character has been reimagined in a captivating new rendition, sure to delight fans and collectors alike. We hope you enjoy owning this piece as much as we've enjoyed creating it. And we will, and we do, and it's amazing. And I'm telling you, the more creative they get with stuff like this, the more this kind of stuff is going to get made. I'm all for it. This is the Star Wars Animated Scout Trooper Ewok Attack. OG, we'll have some pictures up on the gallery. If you're listening on any iDevice, you're seeing those pictures.
Or watching it on YouTube.
Or watching on YouTube. Yes, you're seeing those pictures right now. Entertainment Earth is also another great site that you want to check out for things like this. And that's all I got. OG, you got another couple of products.
I have two and a mention.
Okay.
All right. So we'll start off with, this is Mr. Pinkerton. Okay. This is a mini key, although it's not really mini. It's just odd moniker. Well, because
it's pretty
so
big.
Keys are pieces that are put out by Toy2R, and they're only like 3 inches.
Right.
But the mini keys are 5 inches. How does that work?
Hmm.
Anyway, so this is Mr. Pinkerton. They're not maxi key. I think they actually have a maxi key that might be bigger than this. It's like 8 inches. This is by Toy Tour, like I said. It's a piece designed by Scott Tolleson. Scott's, we talk about his stuff a bunch on the show because I happen to be a really big fan. This is Mr. Pinkerton. It's like a little bunny dude.
It does look like a bunny.
He's got a little wind-up toy on the back.
Yeah, is there something behind this piece? I'm confused.
No, I think it's just another character design by Scott. It kind of fits in with Scott's art style. I mean, if you're familiar with his kind of like nerdy hipster, you know, glasses and Argyle, although this character does not have Argyle, but a lot of his other characters all have Argyle. Actually, most of his stuff kind of has Argyle in it. The Frosty Android piece didn't have Argyle. And I think the last Android piece that he had in the last series, the orange and the green, did not have Argyle. But
right. But
this is just kind of in that same vein. It's kind of like hipster nerd. I don't know, it's just kind of cute. I really like Scott's style.
Hipster bunny.
I like Toy Tour. I don't collect a lot of keys unless there's a particular artist. Like, for example, John Paul Kaiser.
Right.
Had some awesome keys. Like the Captain...
The pirate one.
Right, yeah, which I believe was a Toy Tour piece.
Right.
So, I don't know, this is just a really cool piece if you're a fan of his style. These are bitch to find, though. I actually found this on eBay because for some reason, I think the Toy Tour...
Does he have glasses?
No. Well, I was going to get to that.
Okay.
So the Toy Tour USA arm of the company is like now defunct. So this was a bitch to get. I had to get this off of eBay because all of my normal... I would go to you online retailers to get one of these. I couldn't get them from. Okay. And there's actually at least one other colorway, possibly two other colorways of this figure that I'd like to have, but I can't find them. So
I'm one of them hoping. The hipster glass?
I don't know. But so the art, what Kev is talking about, and you're looking at this now, of course, in the photo gallery and the image feed, but the art on the back of this box, he's got like, the art on the back of this box, he looks like a tin toy.
He does. He actually has the wind up, and he has like a little mustache.
Yeah, he had a little mustache, and he's got like the rivet marks on the ears and on the side. So those are actually on the toy itself, but they're so kind of, they're really subdued.
Yeah,
like you can barely see them. And so this piece doesn't actually have the mustache, and he doesn't have the glasses.
Yeah, is that a different?
Well, I'm not sure because I can't find the other pieces. So. I don't know if one of the other versions or one of the other colorways has the glasses and the mustache.
Gotcha.
I think at least one of the other versions has the mustache. I don't know about the glasses.
Gotcha.
But while we're talking about Scott Tolleson, this Saturday, April 13th, this is a 3D Retro piece. 3D Retro is a company, Ben, who's often on Toy Fair. He's the... proprietor of 3D Retro, although he doesn't have a brick and mortar. It's an online retailer.
Gotcha.
But he has a lot of really cool exclusives that he puts out. So this coming Saturday, April 13th, at Giant Robo 2 in Los Angeles, he's releasing Bartholomew Punchy Face, which is... So Scott also has these series of plush that have come out.
Okay.
There's a Lyle Bean, which was the original, which I actually have on my Tolleson shelf back there. He's in the way back. And there have been a couple other ones. There's one that's a Seijo, and it looks kind of oddly like Sarajo from... But this one is... This is Bartholomew Punchy Face, which is supposed to kind of be like a little like Luke Chu.
Oh.
So this is a 3D Retro Scott Tolleson Luke Chu collaboration.
Oh, so it's not intending... There's no subtext here that Scott Tolleson wants to punch Luke Chu?
No.
I call him Punchy Face then.
So, yeah. So, the bear, I'm not exactly sure on the bear. Normally these plush go for like 25 or 30 a piece.
Sure.
But at the event this coming Saturday, there's going to be one of two different prints that you can get also.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's going to be $50 for the bear and the print.
Wow.
And it's a Luke Chu print. And the prints are really cute.
Now, let me ask you if you can see them. Now let me ask you, are we attending this?
Not unless we're flying to Los Angeles in the next day or two. I hope to find a mule, though, for me to...
Oh, yeah, a mule?
To get one of these... mule, that's a technical term.
You know,
if we still had the dictionary, mule would be in there.
We should put the dictionary.
Mule is an official word.
That's the thing we got to bring back.
Mule is someone you send to a convention...
Yeah.
for you to pick up an exclusive.
But it's too generic. It's too drug related. We gotta geek it up.
No, but that's the word though. That's the industry. That's the community accepted term. Is okay. Mule. I had a mule at ToyCon UK.
Oh yeah. No mule in
it. Old Fancy Pants himself.
Are there any one-eyed persons going to?
I don't think he's flying out to LA either.
Okay.
But Old Fancy Pants himself was my mule in ToyCon.
UK mule?
Yeah, Dickie Page.
Dickie Page.
Our friend, Dickie Page.
I see a lot of stuff on Dickie Page's Facebook.
Yeah, actually.
Dickie Page is doing a lot of cool
stuff. We're going to have.
Listen, Dickie Page, I know you're listening, and you know which piece I want, and you know what gigantic six film trilogy it's based on, and I want one.
We're gonna have Dickie Page product, I think, on the show soon. We haven't worked out the store yet.
Okay.
We have other things in the store that I thought were coming first, but maybe not.
Things that I've dug out of the archives
for the store. Okay.
Some prints.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes, people. Yes. We have to do that.
I believe I found those.
Let's move on now.
Okay.
Product. I have one more piece that I want to talk about.
Yes, sir.
This is the Fall from Cybertron.
Grimlock.
That's right. Fall from Cybertron Grimlock.
Yes. Wow, you just went dead on a Transformers piece. I'm a little concerned.
Well, I really like robot mode.
Okay.
On this piece.
Yeah.
What you see here in studio
is
robot mode.
Gotcha.
Okay. What you're looking at in the feed is also robot mode. What you'll be looking at in a moment is dinosaur mode.
Okay.
A little sloppy. Dare I say, slightly shitty.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's really not great. It doesn't look... When you actually physically do the transformation...
Uh-huh.
And I did it. You know, I transformed him. It doesn't look great.
Does he have glowing eyes and mouth, though?
Well, you can't see it in robot mode, but he does. Yeah, there's a button that lights up his eyes and his mouth. It also lights up the Autobot logo on the top of his head.
Uh-huh.
Two Autobot logos on this. I always thought there was only one.
I don't know.
I don't remember there being two.
They're doing a little redesign, sir.
So he has, in robot mode, he has one on his, in robot mode, he really only has one on his chest. But in dinosaur mode, he has one on his head and his chest.
Gotcha.
Or in his back, actually.
In his back.
I like the sword. I like the shield.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's... And he feels flimsy. I remember original Grimlock was weighty. Was he metal, the original Grimlock?
I don't remember.
He had some heft to him. Like, he would cause trouble if you threw him at somebody.
Really? That's how you judged him?
Well, yeah.
How could I pelt with this?
Look, when I was at that age...
A boy...
A young lad. Yeah, I probably threw Transformers at people.
Like in your early 20s?
Yes. No, so...
Wow. I just did the light-up feature?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's way more than his eyes and his mouth. Holy
God. Oh, yeah. It's his eyes and his mouth, and it's the logo on his head and nose.
And his entire head.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty bright.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Eh.
It's a shame that robot mode kind of sucks, though. Or dinosaur mode kind of sucks. But you know what?
I'm messing with them. This probably took you an hour to get through.
Yeah, please don't mess with them too much. I display pretty much all of my Transformers with, I think, one exception.
Uh-huh.
And that's because I have a duplicate of it in robot mode anyway.
Right.
So I'm okay that he looks really good in robot mode.
Gotcha.
The only one that I display in both is Soundwave.
Right.
I have a cassette player and I have Transformed.
Gotcha.
So, But I like the figure. Articulation is nice. The accessories are kind of cool. I like his sword. Just, he's really flimsy. He's really flimsy in dino mode. And he's really flimsy overall. He feels cheap to me.
Right.
But cool figure nonetheless. Little pricey. What price? $25?
Ooh.
A little pricey.
Oh, well.
A little pricey. But he's big.
He's got electronics.
He's got the big scale. He's got the electronics. Accessories are nice. So,
right.
So I'm down.
Okay.
I'm down. So yeah, check out Fall from Cybertron Grimlock if you were a fan.
So Fall from Cybertron means that he's like part of that universe.
He's part of the, he was, yeah, based on the character design based on the second game.
Right.
War from Cybertron, Fall from Cybertron.
Got it.
Dinobots were in Fall from Cybertron. This is based on
that. I have no idea how the timeline works for these.
Well, War from Cybertron and Fall from Cybertron should lead up to Gen 1. Because remember, Gen 1,
so
they're already leaving Cybertron and coming
to
Earth.
That. So how is he already a dinosaur?
Well, because you know what, some of the character designs are weird. If you remember, Bumblebee did not look like a Volkswagen,
yeah,
but he kind of was cool, you know.
Right.
And Soundwave did not look like a cassette deck, so
I got you.
He was a tank.
Yeah.
So I guess there are dinosaurs or some variation thereof on Cybertron.
Does that account maybe for what you're feeling about the dino mode?
No, I don't think so. Because I was kind of cool with the fact that he was a dinosaur. I was kind of like, all right, it's got a Gen 1 feel to it. But he looks sloppy. He looks sloppy.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
With that, OG, that opinion, I believe we should take our final break on Big Kez Geek Stuff.
We should.
Episode number 284. Road to Geek Flea 5.
Ooh.
And
almost flubbed it there.
I know, I never would have heard the end of it either. And we'll be right back.
Saturday, April 13th. Cash in your tax refund and come to Geek Flea 5. Come to 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey for the best spectacle on the East Coast.
Unwinnable presents
Geek Flea 5. Our vendors are guaranteed to have something to quench your geek thirst. Comics, video games, bootleg DVDs, old toys, board games, books, posters, and more. But wait, that's not all. Geek Flea 5 is also an artist marketplace. That's right. Come to Geek Flea to buy wares from photographers, painters, filmmakers, comic creators, jewelry designers, clothing designers, and more. There will also be hot sauce. Buy some food from the church ladies. Geek Flea 5. DJs will be spinning music all day. Enter one of the raffles and be the next big winner. Sponsored by 80stees.com, Loop Lounge, Garden State Roller Girls, Paradox Comics, Barcade Jersey City, Comics Explosion, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and Tailslate. Don't forget to come to sunny Kearney, New Jersey for the best event on the East Coast. Saturday, April 13th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 663 Kearney Avenue, Kearney, New Jersey. Geek Flea 5. Our prices are insane.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 284, The Road to Geek Flea 5.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
This week, we talked about Carrie Kelly joining the official DC 52 canon, the saga of Saga 12 and the controversy surrounding it, Morris Chestnut may or may not be playing Black Panther, Edgar Wright may or may not be directing an Ant-Man after credit scene for Iron Man Trace. Also in the news this week, we talked a little bit about...
we talked about The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. Right, our voicemail, and of course, The Walking Dead. And of course, we talked about a bunch of other shows. I'm saying that the network I am most looking forward to this summer season, BBC America.
Okay.
BBC America, kicking ass.
I'm not going to agree with you. I'm going to look forward to Defiance. I'm going to look forward to the new season of Falling Skies.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to and enjoying Bates Motel. All
right. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard...
Did you watch Hannibal?
I did not watch Hannibal.
I didn't like it.
I didn't
playing Hannibal's creepy.
I did not anticipate that.
I mean, in a Hannibal creepy way.
In just that creepy way?
It just looks creepy.
Schoolyard with candy in his hand kind of way?
Yeah, I know. That's one way to look at him, I guess. Yes, and what else, OG, was in the news?
That was it, the news.
Oh, and then in segment two tonight, we talked about some comical books.
That's right.
Rocketeer, Hollywood Horror number 3 from IDW. Batman Lil Gotham number 1 from DC. Batman and Red Robin number 19, which we've overly talked about now. And Batman number 19, of course, those are my books. OG, you had a few.
Also out this week, Star Wars number 4 from Dark Horse. Wood's doing an awesome job on that. Also, Constantine number 2 out this week. Saga number 12. Age of Ultron number 5. Fantastic Four number 6. Ultron number 1, which is an Age of Ultron book. And Uncanny X-Men number 4 out this week.
Gotcha. And a couple of trades to check out, one of which is the Rocket Raccoon and Groot Complete Collection. Stuff going all the way back to 1959 included in this, so you're definitely going to want to check that out. Color stuff, black and white stuff. What's the black and white stuff from?
I don't know.
I'm going to have to look. So that's great from Marvel. Check that out. Also from Marvel, which pains me to say because I'm really enjoying it. It's the latest in the Eric Schanauer and Scotty Young translations of L. Frank Baum's Oz books. This is Road to Oz, oversized hardcover collection, collecting Road to Oz numbers 1 through 6. So check that out from Mar-Vell as well. And product tonight, we had a trio of products to discuss. The first of which was the latest Star Wars animated limited edition maquette, sculpted by Gentle Giant Studios, Gentle Giant LTD, check them out. If this is an Entertainment Earth exclusive. It's the Scout, as I said, Scout Walker, Ewok Attack. Amazing piece, amazing concept. We're so happy it's finally out. We talked about it way back when we were covering Celebration number 5, which means the best piece that I saw in Celebration 5. The animated Sand Trooper on a Dewback piece is Eminence, which is terrific. I can't wait for that one. And the, what else? OG, you had two pieces.
In product tonight, we talked about Mr. Pinkerton by Scott Tolleson and Toy2R, which is a really cool piece. Of course, we also, before I do that, we also talked about Fall of Cybertron, Grimlock. Check that out if you're a Fall of Cybertron Dinobot fan.
From Hasbro.
And then we talked about the 3D retro show at Giant Robot 2 in Los Angeles. This is the Scott Tolleson Luke Chu 3D retro Bartholomew Punchy Face plush release. Wow, that is a
ton. I want to know the Punchy Face and Luke Chu thing.
I think it's just a funny
one. I don't know.
Also, something I just saw popped up in my email that I wanted to mention. April 19th at My Plastic Heart in New York City, friends of the show, My Plastic Heart. That'll be next Friday. The Hanna-Barbarian Show, a group show featuring the work of over 20 artists from the U.S. and abroad, which is a tongue-in-cheek reference to these artists creating pieces using elements from their favorite cartoons. Some great artists listed in there, so you might want to check that out if you were
interested. When does that start?
It's April 19th is the opening reception, and it runs through the middle of May.
Okay,
this stuff
when,
will be on the
yeah,
spot.
When did the doors open?
6 p.m. It's 6 to 9 p.m. on April 19th. So there you go.
I think I can make that.
Okay.
Because I'm seeing Great Big C that
night. Oh, lovely.
I think in Manhattan.
Unfortunately, I cannot make that, but that's okay. But you should definitely check that out. Check out My Plastic Heart.
Yeah.
Of course, don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our show notes, episodes. Of course, the link to the Amazon associate is over there. So
look,
please
check
that out.
You order stuff from Amazon. We all do. Why not help out the show by going right to our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and ordering your Amazon products through our link?
Right. Of course, absolutely.
That would be a great thing to do.
It helps the show. You get what you want.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's happy. Of course, don't forget, check out some of our other sponsors like Suburban Vinyl.
Yes.
Reopening on April 20th.
Very
and more shows
about
to
that.
Come. Of course, don't forget to check out Geek Flea 5.
Yep.
This
we'll be
Saturday,
there.
April 13th in Kearney, New Jersey. Link to that is on the website.
Y'all.
And of course, don't forget, you can check us out at Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff, on Twitter at BKGeekStuff and at GeekStuffOG. Please check us out on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is also BKGeekStuff. Please subscribe to the channel, check out the episodes, and support that leg of the show.
Yes.
Because we have some ideas, I think, for where to go with that. Possibly some listener participation segments that we might be working on. So
yeah.
So definitely check that out.
Uh-huh.
And check out
our other exciting ventures like Big Kev Eats Stuff.
No, that's never happening.
It's going
of course, you can check us out also over at More Like Radio, Compulsion Magazine also. All of those things. So all of those venues.
It's actually happening.
I don't think so.
This is the year.
Uh-huh.
This is the year.
I know. No, this is also the year that I spot win.
Really?
Uh-huh.
It's very subtle, but you...
No, it's your
This is the year.
Okay.
OG, I'm going to bring this episode to a close so that we don't argue further about the inevitability of Big Kev Eats Stuff. By bringing this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close by saying... Good night, Annette, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.